KJAN, Radio Atlantic.
And at 8 o'clock, it's cloudy and 45 degrees in Atlantic. We look for cloudy skies today with occasional light rain or sprinkles, a high of 54. Good morning, I'm Rick Hansen with KJAN News. In the news this hour, funeral services for Erling Fire Chief Tom Henrick have been set for Saturday at 11 a.m. at St. Joseph's Catholic Church in Erling. The Erling Fire Department and Shelby County Emergency Management Agency are asking all residents from Erling to please clear the town streets on Friday evening of all vehicles in order to accommodate the funeral attendees. For any fire department that is planning on attending, please visit the Shelby County Emergency Management's website at shelbycountyema.com and fill out the registration form on the front page so the department can plan for parking. On the day of the funeral, Shelby County Road M16 will be closed from Highway 37 to 2100th Street from 10 a.m. to 1 p.m. to accommodate the attending fire departments. It's also requested that any person bringing their private vehicle to the interment please use 4th Avenue in Erling to access the back of the cemetery. For updates, you can refer to the Shelby County Emergency Management website I mentioned a moment ago. Well, officials say a cyber attacker might have taken patient data from a Sioux City Vision and surgical practice. The Sioux City Journal reports that officials for Jones Eye Clinic and affiliated surgery center, CJ Elmwood Partners, discovered a ransomware attack on August 23rd. In such online attacks, data is locked and payment is demanded for the data to be released. The computer systems were put back into service using backup information and no ransom payment was made. Officials say the attackers would have had the ability to access patient information contained in billing and scheduled software, but not medical records. The compromised patient data included some individuals' social security numbers and insurance claim information. Jones Eye Clinic and the surgery center have told patients about the data breach and are paying to enroll the affected patients in a year of credit monitoring. A financially troubled historic Sioux City building is set to be sold at auction next month to settle the debts of a California development that owns it. The Sioux City Journal says the auction is set for November 21st at the Woodbury County Courthouse. The 12-story Badge Row building, built in 1933, went into foreclosure in January, and that's when the judgment of more than $5.2 million was entered against the building's owner, Mako One Corporation, and its managing partner, Bruce DeBolt, for the defaulted portion of a $6 million bond agreement that was secured to pay to renovate and redevelop the building. The building is listed on the National Register of Historic Places for its Art Deco architecture style. Elsewhere in state news, the Davenport School District is investigating reports that a teacher was wearing blackface at a public Halloween party. Walcott Elementary teacher Megan Luloff was among the people at a Halloween party at the Walcott American Legion who portrayed characters from the movie Napoleon Dynamite. She reportedly dressed as La Fonda, a character who is black. District Superintendent Art Tate said the wearing of blackface is never appropriate in any circumstance by any person. The district is under state supervision because a disproportionate number of minority students have been identified for special education and subject to disciplinary actions. Betty C. Andrews with the Iowa-Nebraska NAACP Conference of Branches said the revelation that a woman in blackface is a teacher who is expected to provide a safe and equitable classroom environment for all children is very disconcerting. The Iowa Finance Authority fired its lobbyist for retaliating against a woman who reported being sexually harassed by its director. The agency has belatedly released its September 27th letter terminating Government Relations Director Wes Peterson. An investigation ordered by Governor Kim Reynolds found Peterson was aware of wrongdoing by her friend Director Dave Jamison, but failed to report it. The report portrayed Peterson as a sidekick who drank with Jamison and witnessed him grabbing a colleague's breasts in 2016. Peterson allegedly yelled at the victim after Jamison was fired in March, demanding to know whether she had filed a complaint with Reynolds. He warned that he falsely claimed that he was too drunk to remember the incident. The termination letter said Peterson engaged in retaliatory conduct toward the woman in violation of work rules. His attorney said the report contains unspecified inaccuracies. An agency spokeswoman says the letter's delayed release was due to an oversight. Reynolds helped Peterson land his job after he worked on the 2010 governor's campaign. An Iowa State regulator, a real estate regulator that is leaving her post week after an investigation ordered by Governor Kim Reynolds faulted her for failing to report sexual misconduct by her powerful boss. The Iowa Finance Authority said Tuesday that Iowa Title Guarantee Director Tara Lawrence will leave the agency November 2nd. A press release said Lawrence has played a critical role in the development and success of the organization during her 6 years as an employee, including the last three as director. It made no mention of a report last month that faulted Lawrence and agency lobbyist Wes Peterson for failing to report sexual harassment they witnessed, as mentioned by former authority director Dave Jamison. Lawrence said last month that she stayed quiet because she feared retaliation and that she'd also been harassed by Jameson, a longtime friend of the governor. Peterson's attorney said that he was fired last month over the report, although the agency has ignored questions about him. Elsewhere in Iowa news, Democrats say there is nothing Republican lawmakers can say to convince them changes in the public employee pensions aren't just around the corner if Republicans retain control of the governor's office and state legislature. Danny Homan is president of AFSCME Council 61, which represents the greatest share of state workers who are union members, workers who get a pension from the Iowa Public Employees Retirement System, or IPERS.
Anyone who thinks the Republicans won't touch IPERS, take it from me. In 2016, not a single Republican ran on destroying collective bargaining. Not one flyer, not one ad, not one mailer, not nothing.
Republican Governor Kim Reynolds says there have been in the past and will continue to be routine adjustments to ensure the solvency of the pension system.
When they increased benefits a couple years ago, those are some things that take place. It doesn't mean we're going to take it away or repeal it.
Iowa Democratic Party Chairman Troy Price said Reynolds has sent mixed messages by talking about hybrid or different pensions, like a 401k style option for future workers, then recently saying there will be no changes for current or future IPERS beneficiaries.
We've heard from our governor on this issue, and it further showcases her willingness to say or do anything to win this election, even if that means contradicting her own previous statements.
And Reynolds says the Democrats are simply trying to scare people.
When you have no ideas and nothing to run on and you want to hide the fact that you're going to raise taxes, that's when you do the little deflection. Look over here. Let's talk about something that's not true.
The top Republican in the Iowa House said there have been no charges to IPERS, and Republicans in the House have no secret plans to change IPERS for current employees or new hires. A key Republican in the Iowa Senate proposed switching state employees hired after July 1st of 2019 to a 401k system, but his proposal went nowhere in the 2018 legislative session. One out of every 10 Iowans are current or retired public employees who are getting or will get IPERS pension. A caravan of around 7,000 Central American refugees continues through southern Mexico on its way to the United States to seek asylum. Some U.S. officials say they aren't convinced everyone in the group is seeking asylum, and President Trump may send our military to the border to deal with a large number of migrants. Iowa Senator Joni Ernst said there is a set process to be admitted to the United States.
We have proper procedures for immigrating into the United States. For those that wish to seek asylum, they need to declare that, and they need to go through their proper hearings.
Ernst says she's confident federal officials are keeping an eye on the caravan's progress through Mexico.
We know that Homeland Security is on top of this. They are monitoring it daily, hourly, actually. So I have full confidence that we'll be able to handle the situation as it might come up. But I know that the president is working very closely with Mexico as well to monitor the situation.
Senators Grassley of Iowa and Mike Lee of Utah called on the Trump administration to seek an agreement with Mexico to assist in accommodating the stream of migrants traveling through Mexico seeking asylum. The senators noted acknowledgments by former Obama administration officials that potential security threats are exploiting immigration vulnerabilities to enter the U.S. Grassley also said the president is justified in his threat to send troops to defend our nation's southern border and to stop what Grassley described as an attack on national sovereignty from the caravan. That's a check of the news on KJAN. I'm Rick Hansen reporting.